Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we spread a little gree-gree.
That sounds desitively Bonnaroo to me.
Okay, sad news yet again.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of this.
Yes. In the music world, the passing of Dr. John.
Yes. Left us earlier, last week, I guess, as we record this. Dr. John, known as Mac Rebenack, Dr. John the Night Tripper, a quintessential New Orleans musician, but also one that had a pretty wide influence and lived a pretty amazing sort of musical ragtag vagabond life. Did a lot of different things, and be cool to just sort of remember some of those things he did and talk about some of the interesting stuff throughout his life. I'm a big fan of his early music, and I'd love to sort of talk about how that impacted me.
Okay, very good. So this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Dr. John died at age 77 on June 6th, 2019.
That's right.
And to me, he kind of seemed like a musician a bit out of time,
yeah,
right?
I think that's well said.
What would you say? How would you describe his music?
Well, I think there are two distinct phases to his music. I there's his first phase, well, his first released recorded music, which started in 1968 with the incredible album Gree Gree. And there is this psychedelic voodoo New Orleans mix of roots music before it was really called roots music, all the boogie-woogie New Orleans piano that he absorbed, and that sort of down-home kind of stuff that came from the bayou, and also this psychedelic music that, you know, he was absorbing from his time in Los Angeles and hanging around Zappa, and, you know, even cut a couple sessions with some of the Wrecking Crew, and, you know, all kinds of different things that he mixed in those first albums.
It's funny because I'm working separate from the podcast in my day job. I'm working on a project right now that revolves around Carlos Santana.
Yes.
And in a similar way, Carlos Santana was a guy who came on the scene in the late 60s and practiced in psychedelic music, but infused into that was traditional music that he grew up with. In that case, it would have been Mexican traditional music. But in this case, here's a guy from New Orleans, right? Mm-hmm. And he was doing the same kind of thing. He's playing with sort of the music of his time in the late 60s, rock and psychedelia, but he's bringing into that music that he grew up with himself, right?
Exactly, yeah. And interestingly enough, actually, when he was a teenager, he started out as a guitar player. He released a single called Storm Warning in 1959 that really sounds like Link Wray or something. It sounds like one of those, you know, West Coast-style guitar and saxophone instrumental things. And then later, he was shot in the finger during supposedly some illicit activity. Dr. John did spend 2 years in prison at one point for some discretions he got into in his late teen, early 20 years. But it was because of that finger getting shot that he went to the piano. And then from there, he absorbed James Booker, Jelly Roll Morton, Professor Longhair, all those people. And as you said so well, Jim, put it together with all those other influences he had. And that's what came out is like Gree Gree. And then there's three more albums after that. Babylon, Remedies, and the Sun, Moon, and Herbs. From 68 to 71, that to me make up the core of his real artistic achievement in the first part of his career.
So what should we play from that first period?
Play anything off Gree Gree, because to me it's just such a wild and crazy album. I mean, you can play the second song, Dance Kalinda, Padum, and you'll get a sense of how wild it is. Thank you. So you hear it there, essentially, it's a midnight voodoo ceremony somewhere down in a swamp in New Orleans. And that track and several others on this album are really remarkable because he doesn't even sing on them and just sort of gives the music over to these instrumental, you know, things that are happening. And it contains the last track on the album, I Walk on Gilded Splinters, is like his dark star, to use a, you know, Grateful Dead analogy. It's the one he would play for long periods and extend and change. But all those records, from starting with Grieg, certainly the wildest and craziest and the one I like the best, just because it still, even to this day, sounds so far out. And like, I don't know, it's like something that Smithsonian Folkways might have recorded, you know, in some time on, you know, a recorder out in the middle of nowhere. And the records did get progressively more pop, progressively a little more song structured, a little more boogie woogie New Orleans, until 1973 he released a song called I Was in the Right Place at the Wrong Time, and that became a big hit for him on the radio. And that sort of established this second part of his career, where Dr. John became, you know, a sort of swinging New Orleans style piano player. You know, it's got also Such a Night, which is another big, pretty well-known hit. That's the song he performs in the last waltz with the band. That became another one of his signature numbers. And then he just, you know, sort of evolved into this person who did a tremendous amount of collaborations, because he influenced a lot of current musicians. Eric Clapton was a huge fan and collaborated with him. Obviously the band, lots of people. And he also became an ambassador for New Orleans music and that style of music. And that's kind of the way the rest of his career sort of played out through the 80s and 90s. And he did some amazing interpretations of classic New Orleans music, and just by his very presence and the way he worked, he kept a very pure style of New Orleans music alive. Like, Dr. John was always there to show you what the real New Orleans music was, in my opinion.
So let's play the hit song, Right Place, Wrong Time. And you're going to get that boogie-woogie groove.
Yeah.
And also that vocal style of his, which was kind of laid back and really kind of helps you kind of sink into the song,
yeah,
I think.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think everybody probably knows that tune, right?
Yes.
You've heard it. Even if you didn't know it was him, you probably heard it on the radio at some point.
Right.
You know, scanning around or on some sort of mixtape. So here's a couple interesting things I uncovered. Some of this I knew, some of it I didn't. But a couple things, as I said, he does appear on the band's famous Last Waltz concert, which was made into a movie by Martin Scorsese. He's performing on that, which is kind of cool. He did play on Exile on Main Street, an album we talked about recently. He
yep.
plays piano and backing vocals on Let It Loose, and he sings on All Down the Line. The album that followed, the Right Place album, released in 1974, he had the Meters on that record. It was titled Decisively Bonnaroo. And that's a word, apparently, that he made up.
Really?
And that's where the festival took its name, actually, from a Dr. John record. So he performed there, I think, at some point for an anniversary of that album. And that's exactly where they took the name. More importantly, probably, though, folks, I learned that he did sing the Love That Chicken from Popeye's jingle from the Popeye's fast food restaurants. And listening to that song, you can hear that voice. And even wilder, I didn't know this, and you may know this, Jim, but in The Muppets, the band, you know, the piano player, Dr. Teeth, is based on Dr. John.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
Got the glasses and the long hair and the beard and everything and the top hat, which Dr. John wore a lot.
Totally makes sense,
yeah.
Right.
So that apparently is where that character came from. And this is the one that blew my mind the most. I didn't know this. I'm a big fan of Spiritualized, as anyone who listens to this podcast may know. He appeared on their album, Ladies and Gentlemen, We Are Floating in Space. He played piano and sang background vocals on the song Cop Shoot Cop, which is a really weird thing. And then Jason Pierce returned the favor and guested it on Dr. John's 1998 album, Anutha Zone. So how about that?
So is there any way to kind of sum up, I don't know, the legacy, the impact of a guy like Dr. John?
I mean, it's hard to do that, yeah. I think, because his tendrils stretched in such different directions. You know, after he got out of prison in the mid-60s, he went to L.A., played on a lot of sessions. He played on Sonny and Cher records. He played with Neil Diamond and Carly Simon. So his influence has kind of been everywhere.
Right.
And through his work with the Meters and Professor Longhair and all that, it's really impossible, especially when you learn something like, wow, they named Bonnaroo after one of his album titles. Like, his reach is really deep. His roots are really, really deep. I do feel like in time, I hope anyway, that he'll get recognized as an early, roots, American roots influence right. person, even though it was, pretty overtly Bayou music and New Orleans music, but also that's the music of a lot of different cultures that helped shape this country. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would say in some way, that the music just like existed in him and he was able to bring that out and contribute it to people. And so like, if you needed that like authentic feel is more than anything to your record, he was a great guy to have on.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I think that's a great observation.
And it almost seemed effortless in the way he played and sang and performed.
Amazing.
Right.
And one thing I'd like to point out is, well, two things. One, if you just know Dr. John by reputation and as a New Orleans piano player, go back and on Spotify, those first four albums are all there, from Gree Gree all the way through The Sun, the Moon, and the Herbs. Like, listen to those and you'll get an appreciation of where it came from. And also, if you want to read a really nice summary of his life and work, on Slate.com, a writer called Jack Hamilton wrote a really nice piece titled Dr. John Was Both Deeply Traditional and a Total Freak. And that's a really good way to put it. One section I'll read really quickly from that article, and this sums it up as well as anything, I think. It's Jack Hamilton wrote, Dr. John recorded a series of instructional videos called Dr. John Teaches New Orleans Piano that are both unintentionally hilarious and totally breathtaking. Dr. John begins each segment by amiably pontificating on some aspect of the New Orleans piano tradition before launching into utterly spectacular renditions of standards like St. James Infirmary, Goodnight Irene, and Key to the Highway. All the while, there's a camera helpfully positioned above the keyboard so that can follow along at home. I watched a little bit of this stuff, and it's just unbelievable, like you said, how he's doing this. It seems like he's not even conscious. It's just coming from some other place that he's channeling. So you can find those on YouTube. They're really kind of cool.
That sounds great. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
All right. Well, rest in power.
Rest in power.
Dr. John.
Dr. John.
We will talk with you again tomorrow with some happier topics.
Let's hope so.
If you have any thoughts or comments or anything about Dr. John and his music, you can email us rock@suburbspod.com or call and leave a message 612-440-1984 or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. All right. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Wanna hear out of me. I got a son.